Bezras Hashem Yizbarech, our halacha topic from Daf Lamed Aleph in Meseches Psachim. Our daf was a very intricate daf in Hilchos Chosha Mishpat. I'm recording this in the Catskills, so I don't have most of my svarim. In fact, most of what I'll be using for my svarim is the computer, thanks to the Shaios L'Tshuvas Bar Ilan. We won't deal with the Chosha Mishpat sugis on Daf Lamed Aleph, but rather we will pick up with the last sugya on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Chomit Shenoflal of Mapolas, and the halachos of Beis HaKvaros today. The Mishnah tells us that if you have debris that falls on top of chametz, the halacha is that we consider as if the chametz does not exist and there isn't a requirement to get rid of it. What is the amount of debris that is necessary to consider the chametz as if it's destroyed? So here, the Gemara tells us, in the name of Chizda, or according to some, it's Tana, Kama Chafisas HaKelev, Shloisha Tvachim. As long as you have three Tvachim, we consider it as if it's enough to be considered destroyed, and we're not concerned that a dog is going to come and pull it out. Believe it or not, this Gemara is one of the most important Gemaras in the halachos of a Kever Yisrael. We're going to refer here now to the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm indebted to the Masifta Gemara for this reference. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvas, in Simen Reish Lamed Gimel, in Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Simen Reish Lamed Gimel, discusses the following Shaila. This was a Tshuva that was actually written in environs that aren't as beautiful as these, when Rav Moshe was stuck in Russia under the Iron Curtain. In fact, Rav Moshe was under house arrest, I believe, for over 10 years. And many, many fantastic tshuvas by Rav Moshe were written during that period of time. Rav Moshe in Russia deals with the following question. Let me present to you the shaila that was asked him from Strabin, just to turn, or if you will, to scroll to the appropriate place in Ramesha, in the Tshuva. Bedavar, he writes, to Reb Shloima Landau, Hagoyin Av Bezdin Strabin, Bedavar Chalok Beis HaKvaros, Hanishar Panui, Hu B'makum Namuch. It's not like we have all this area over here to bury a person, but rather there is a very specific place in the Beis HaKvaros that there isn't much land at all. And it's a low area, low-lying area. And if you dig the way the normally custom to dig a kever, and certainly you're not supposed to bury him water, because the halacha is that if someone's buried close to water, there's a mitzvah to move, and the water is seeping into the kever, that's one of the times that's mutter to move a mace. In general, it's prohibited to move a mace. However, there are times, for example, to move it from here, from the Catskills to Eretz Yisrael, one is allowed to inter a body. Normally, it's prohibited. There, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Shin Samach Gimel, that the halacha is that you're supposed to inter the body if it's next to water. Certainly, lechatchila, you can't bury next to water. So now here's the problem. There are deep areas that you'll be able to bury. We'll see in a moment that six tvachim is a significant amount of distance. So there are those areas, but all those areas are next to the water. And since it's next to the water, we're going to be stuck. So the question is whether they could bury them in an area that's a low-lying area where there'll be less than six tvachim from the top. So Rav Moshe discusses the following maramakum. In Simen Shin Samach Beis, if Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, the Mechaber talks about burying mesim on top of each other. Now, because I don't have my svarim with me, and because I'm in Chutz Laretz and not Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael right now, I'm not going to comment on a hot-button issue that takes place, is discussed in Eretz Yisrael today. We'll make reference to one of the great Beis HaKvaros that I feel very, very close to, and that's Har HaMenuchas, and it's been a big debate, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not on the issue, and I don't have the svarim in front of me right now, but in Shulchan Aruch, they discuss what happens if you have kvarim that are built on top of each other. So the halacha is mefurish in Shin Samach Beis Siv Dalid, that kvarim that are on top of each other, as long as you have six tvachim between the kvarim, the halacha is that it's going to be permissible to bury mason between each other. Each mace then would get three tefachim. The halacha of distance between kvaris is a halacha mifureshes. The Pisrei Tshuva on that halacha in Simin Shin Samach Beis, in Sif Katan Gimel, says that Sadavar Pashut, that the distance would be six tefachim for the requirement of having a doifen between the two kvarim. That's based on the idea, Rav Moshe says, that if you look in Lo Yachbar, the second parak of Baba Basra, it's a shear of three tefachim, so each one will require a doifen. Interestingly, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes the Shavus Yaakov that says that today we've got a problem. The Gentiles aren't giving us enough land for kvarim. Remember, in your tours of Europe and the old cities in Eretz Yisrael, how tiny the Beis HaKvaris are, and how close together everybody is buried together. So unfortunately, there were times that we weren't able to bury them as the specification of halacha, of a distance of six tefachim between those individuals. But now we get to the following shaila, and here's where our Gemara comes in. And that is, what about on top? What is the requirement of herchik from one, if there is, we're not talking about burying one person on top of another, but rather, how far below the ground does the mace have to be buried? And in Europe, for a Moshe, this was a significant shaila, as we mentioned at that time. Rav Moshe does an amazing diuk in Shulchan Aruch. He points out that, as we mentioned, Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Beis, it tells us that the distance between kvarim, but it doesn't tell us how much earth you need above the kever. Says Rav Moshe Lechura, one could argue that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha would be that even a smaller amount would be permissible. He points out that there is a Rabbi Kiva Eger, which I did not find, that seems to be cholek. However, Rav Moshe says, as far as the halachas of kever, for the idea, for example, that a person owns his kever, there isn't a requirement for the Beis HaKvaros to give him even three tefachim outside halachos of kever of dirt before he's put inside. However, it could very well be, says Rav Moshe, that in terms of halacha lemaisa, one would require three tefachim, if not more, above. And that's because of our Gemara. Our Gemara told us the chafisas hakelev, that a dog will dig and look inside ground up until three tefachim. Says Rav Moshe, that there is talking about in regards to chametz. Unfortunately, Adam Yisoydeh Me'ofer V'Soyfeh Me'ofer, and eventually the body rots, and it has an even powerful smell, than even chametz. And for that reason, Rav Moshe says, it could very well be that in terms of the halachos of kvod ha-meis, in terms of chas v'chalila, a animal eating from the niftar, and the kvod ha-meis, it could very well be that three tefachim are required, but not because of the halachos of kever that we have in Bava Basra on Kuf Aleph, but rather because of the halacha of kvod ha-meis. And then in such a case, every other instance would be different. In terms of kvod ha-meis, one should do one's best to make sure, based on our Gemara, that the kever is not accessible to chas v'chalila animals or bandits. Two interesting points to note to conclude this halacha. Firstly, this idea of kvod ha-meis is something that once upon a time, again, in Ramesh's period of time, was something that was quite significant. Move over a little bit in Russia to Siberia, my great-grandmother, Aleha Shalom, had the dignity of dying in Siberia while her husband and most of her 14 children were killed by the Nazis al Kiddush Hashem. She escaped with my grandmother to Russia and ultimately died in Siberia. We do not know the kever of any of both my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother. My great-grandfather, because he perished in Treblinka, and my great-grandmother, because even though she was buried in Siberia, but my grandmother did not mark her kever. And she told my mother, may she be well, that she did not mark the kever because in those days people were digging up graves. And the black market was so powerful in war-torn Russia at the time, nothing had any value except money and jewelry. If you had a tiny bit of jewelry, that was what had value. People hid their jewelry in the craziest of places. And they also would hide them in the Beis HaKvaros. And for that reason, even a grave was a place that could be God forbid, under attack. For that reason, my grandmother never marked my great-grandmother's kever. The inyan of Kvod HaMeis is something that's very, very, very deep in Klal Yisrael. Secondly, in more contemporary terms, someone who is dear to me, not a relative, some of my Talmidim might know who I'm referring to, was buried in Har HaMenuchas. When we went to visit the kever, so an old-time Israeli pointed out that the kever, of course, was not, the niftar was much deeper than three tefachim into the ground. As you probably are familiar, the mace does go further into the ground than that. However, they pointed out that since this was a family in America who would not do the Hakamas Matzeva until close to the yard site, 11 months or 12 months, much closer to the first yard site, it seemed like in Israeli culture that they were concerned that chas v'chalila, a mace would undergo some type of nivel, some type of zilzul, and therefore it was suggested to pour cement on top of the kever. At the time, I found it a little bit outlandish. I wasn't familiar of any halacha that dictates it. But what we do see is where a Moshe is true, where a Moshe says that even three tefachim might not be enough. So it could very well be that in this instance, the suggestion to pour cement on top of the kever to protect from such a thing might have a spirit of it in Rav Moshe's tshuva. Again, all of this emerges from the requirement in today's daf that chafisas hakelev is shloisha tefachim, and for that reason, Rav Moshe says there would be a requirement of distance of dirt to the mace, not als the halachos of kever from Maseches Bava Basra. The only time that would apply is if you have two mason that are atop of each other, but rather due to the halacha of kvod hamace. This Bezer Hashem concludes the halacha topic from daf lamed aleph.